Marriage is the very foundation of human society. But it was God's idea to begin with. What is God's plan for your marriage? How can you know? What can you do to learn and grow with your spouse to honor God in your marriage? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this deeply personal and critically important topic in his teaching series, God's Plan for Marriage. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. An army is rising up. There is a bona fide movement in America, the personhood movement, and that movement is joining forces with Christians around the country and around the world who are asserting the God-given right to life of the unborn child, in fact, of all innocent human beings. It is a right from our Creator. And so we had a caller on a previous day who there wasn't enough time to get on the air. And so we thought we would go to him. And he is from Osceola, Indiana. He has questions, comments about the personhood movement. So let's go right to Osceola. Jaden, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Hi, Bob. Can you hear me?
Yeah. How are you, sir?
Doing well. So I was listening to NPR a couple weeks ago. It was about a week before the personhood vote in Mississippi. And a caller called in charging that a woman could be prosecuted for menstruating. And this is a quote from him. He said, "Consider the sperm is really not necessary to begin cell division. Any mechanical irritation will begin the process and will carry through maybe as many as 4 divisions before spontaneous miscarriage. That being the case, an unfertilized egg is as much a person under the personhood law as a fertilized egg, in which case any woman who ovulates without becoming pregnant is guilty of homicide."
Yeah.
So I was just wondering, I've never heard of cell division before the sperm is involved, and I was wondering what weight there is to his argument.
All right. Yeah, I'd call that fear-mongering, bad science. On American Right to Life's website, there is an article about the Carnegie Institute's authoritative research and publication on early human development, and they created something called the Carnegie Stages. And this is a world-renowned, this is an international standard for vertebrate embryonic development. And if I could quote to you, I just pulled up at American Right to Life. You can get to this easily. Just use their search, let's say, for Carnegie. That's an example, Carnegie Stages. You could even search for embryonic life, fertilization. And here's the very first line. In fact, the first 5 words of the Carnegie Stages for stage 1. It says, "Embryonic life commences with fertilization." And so fertilization is the beginning of human life when there is sexual reproduction. Now, there's also something known as asexual reproduction, but sexual reproduction is when a sperm fertilizes an ovum, and then you have the beginning of the very beginning of a new human being. Now, let's say that human being, so you have a single-celled organism, which is now a little boy or a little girl, depending on whether it has a Y chromosome or an X chromosome. Now, let's say that begins to divide, and 24 hours later, there are 2 cells, and another day later, there are 4 or 5 cells, and say 1 or 2 of those cells break off. That's called twinning. That would be an example of natural twinning. They could do twinning. I don't know how successful they are, but they could attempt to twin in a petri dish, in a laboratory. But naturally, as the child is making its way down the fallopian tube, one or two cells could break off in the awesome way that God made us. Then not only does that sibling, and that would be an identical twin, a genetically identical twin. So if the first child was a boy, he'd have a twin brother. If it was a girl, she'd have an identical twin sister. Then you have two human beings, and they both have their own soul spirits, which is so astounding to consider because we are body, soul, and spirit. And so they would make their way down the fallopian tube and enter the uterus. And if all goes well, then they'll both implant and they'll be twins. And almost 9 months later, you'll have the birth of twins. So that's the way that you could have a cell dividing and you actually have a person. But the personhood movement with the language that we use would not in any way take any cell that is part of the human body, whether it's dividing or not, and say that cell is a person, because cells like that are not organisms. They are a part of an organism. So we have skin cells, but the personhood movement would not say that if skin cells fall off your body and are on the table or in a petri dish, that they are persons. Also, if you took skin cells, as scientists do, and they turn them into stem cells, these are called adult stem cells, those adult stem cells would not be persons because they're not an organism. They are a cell, a part of an organism. So, Jaden, I don't know what to do other than to quote from the world's leading authority on human development, early human development, the Carnegie stages, and to answer as I did. What was your thought when you first heard that claim?
I just thought it was really weird. Like I said, I've never heard anything like that before. And I wonder where he's getting that from and what, if that's true, what the cell is dividing into. Like, what is it doing when it does that?
Yeah. Well, I have not heard that particular claim, but even if it were true, a sperm, a gamete, a cell, a reproductive cell, either male or female, an ovum or a sperm, these are not persons. These are cells that are a part of someone's body.
Right.
So they're a part of an organism. So regardless of whether any cell in your body divides or not, if it goes through mitosis, that's irrelevant. What matters is when you have a living cell, one or more cells with the full component of the human genome, and they function as an organism, not as a cell part of an organism, but they function as an organism. And I'll give you an example. Within an organism, a multicellular organism, an animal or a human, there are chemical signals that go back and forth between organs or between glands. And those chemical signals are called hormones. Well, the embryo is not part of the mother's body. The embryo has its own body and produces chemical signals that go from the baby to the mother. For example, the way the EPT test work, the early pregnancy test,
right,
is that they detect this extraordinarily early hormone, the signal from the baby saying, "Mom, I'm here. I'm hungry. Please get ready to feed me." It's the baby's first cry. So the embryo is not an organ of the mother. It's not one of her organs. It's not one of her glands. So hormones come from an organ or a gland. And the embryo, half of the time, the embryo is a boy. Half of the time, the embryo, its genetic component, has a Y chromosome. And a Y chromosome cannot be part of a woman's body. And so it is not her body. The half of the time that it's a boy, it should be obvious to anyone who's ever studied genetics and our 23 plus 23 chromosomes. But the other half, when it's a girl, it should then, by analogy, be obvious that it's also not part of the mother's body. It's a baby with his or her own body.
So then as far as you know, asexual reproduction is totally impossible on humans.
No, no, I didn't say that at all. The twinning that I described.
Right, but that needed the father's sperm, though, to get started.
Well, initially, right, for the first child.
Right.
The second child, it would be incorrect to say that biologically, at least, that biologically that child came into existence through fertilization with the sperm, because it did not.
Okay.
That child, that's what we call asexual reproduction. And there are all kinds of methods up to and including cloning that potentially bring living human beings into existence, boys or girls. And so, yes, there is asexual human reproduction, but it is not as this man has claimed. If that were true, virgin birth would be common.
Right.
If that were true, that once a woman ovulates and an ovary releases an ovum and it travels down the fallopian tube and it just starts developing into an embryo, wow, the Lord's birth in Bethlehem would not have been such a big deal if that was common.
Children are a blessing from God, but when parents reject and ignore His wisdom and teaching about parenting, children can grow up to be a curse to their parents and to the world around them. What does the Bible say about parents and children, education, and child discipline? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this powerful and critical topic in his teaching series, Raising Godly Children. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.
Also, a woman on the show, Suzanne Novak, and she was saying things like, if a woman exercises too much and the baby is hurt, or she loses the baby from exercise or something like that, there could be prosecution because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that there was a case where a woman fell down the stairs and she was threatened with prosecution when she was pregnant.
When was that case?
She didn't say.
Well, that's convenient that she didn't cite when or what case this was. We assert that when they talk about women being arrested for miscarriage, which they do in every campaign, and doctors, in fact, being arrested if a woman has a miscarriage, that's a common fear tactic. We assert that the proof from history is that that would not be the case because before the nation began to decriminalize abortion, started in the modern era in 1966 in Mississippi with children who could be killed for their father's crime for rape, the children whose father's a criminal, and then Colorado in 67, and Ronald Reagan followed it in California in 67, and then eventually 73 nationwide with Roe v. Wade. Before that time, abortion was illegal. It was a crime. I had a friend who spent 5 years in a federal penitentiary in California because he had arranged an abortion in those earlier years. And so American Right to Life has made an assertion on their website, which says that there is not a record in the nation's history of a single woman ever being arrested for a miscarriage. There is no doctor that was ever charged with a crime for a miscarriage. So it is fear-mongering to say that when the government recognizes the right to life of the child, therefore there will be a witch hunt after women who have miscarriages. That's fear-mongering. On the other hand, there are laws in about half of the states in America today that if a woman who is pregnant is an alcoholic doing drugs, if she injures her child, let's say by fetal alcohol syndrome, then automatically when that knowledge becomes available to a healthcare worker, there is a mandatory reporting that triggers an immediate intervention and investigation. So we recognize in this country that, yes, a woman can commit child abuse against her child in the womb by being reckless, and that's acknowledged today, even though abortion is happening nationwide in our country. We have the Lacey and Connor Act, where Scott Peterson murdered his wife and their unborn son, Connor. And so the federal government and so many states, Colorado hasn't yet, Lord willing, that'll happen in 2012. But so many states have recognized that if a man murders a woman and kills her child, that that is a second life and he deserves to be punished for killing two people, not one. So that is happening. So there's two things going on. One is there is an actual concern for the life of the child in utero, in the mother's womb. And if she is doing drugs, if she's taking crack cocaine and she harms her child, then yes, that could be an act of child abuse. Secondly, if a man commits a crime against a woman or a woman against a woman and kills a child in the womb, yes, that person should be held criminally liable for that death also. But then third, it is not true when you have those concerns that therefore there is a witch hunt against every woman who miscarries or who's playing sports or who gets treatment for cancer or simply cannot carry a child to term. That is the fear-mongering part of that issue.
Well, that helps, Bob. I appreciate your time.
I appreciate you, Jaden, calling in. Hey, Jaden, what was your take when Mississippi, we lost in Mississippi, we got 42% of the vote, which I think is progress, but we did lose. How did that affect you, the hearing that we didn't win in Mississippi?
I was surprised because I heard that all the polls were showing that most people were on board with the personhood.
Yes.
So I was pretty surprised, but I know there was a pretty good turnout for personhood, so that part's encouraging.
Yeah, that there was 42%. Now, if you have a moment, I'd like to talk that through with you and get your take on it. Okay. Here's our take. The pro-abortion groups that did polls and the campaign, Yes on 26, their internal polls showed that it was winning. In the last couple of weeks before the campaign, the pro-life governor of Mississippi, Haley Barbour, came out against the amendment, against the personhood amendment. National Right to Life, Americans United for Life, the Catholic bishops either claimed to stay neutral or actually opposed the amendment. And in the pro-life opposition to the personhood amendment, they were repeating some of the exact talking points of the abortion industry. So what happened was people who were viewed as pro-life leaders warned the public that this is dangerous, it goes too far, it's vague, and just whatever, it's not the right time. And so I think when pro-life leaders were heard to oppose personhood, then the average Christian and pro-lifer, they think, well, I am pro-life, but you know, there are hard cases. Like if a woman is raped and I'm not sure what to do, but the bishop says he's not taking a position on it and maybe I'm not going to vote for it. And so I think the legacy of Haley Barbour and the Catholic bishops and National Right to Life is that their influence combined killed personhood in Mississippi. That's their legacy.
That makes sense. The average pro-lifer, like you said, who isn't intimately involved with the pro-life movement, it's easy to sway them. I think it's easy to change their minds one way or the other based on who the people are that they look up to.
So, Jaden, I've been in this movement since the 80s, actively fighting to end abortion. And during that time, I've heard the conventional wisdom from National Right to Life. Two things. One, they've always said, we can't talk about God. We can only talk about science. And that sent the entire movement on a diversion for 25 years because the laws of science don't even use the terms right and wrong. So by science, you could prove what a bomb would do going off in the center of a city, but you can't prove whether it's right or wrong. You can't prove that the Holocaust is wrong or that lynching a black man is wrong by the laws of science. And so it's only because we are created in God's image and God's likeness, and that it is the Creator who endowed us with the right to life. It is only because of that that abortion is wrong.
Amen.
So we spent 25 years wandering in the wilderness, 40 years really, counting Colorado's time since 1967.
Marriage is the very foundation of human society, but it was God's idea to begin with. What is God's plan for your marriage? How can you know? What can you do to learn and grow with your spouse to honor God in your marriage? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this deeply personal and critically important topic in his teaching series, God's Plan for Marriage. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.
So the second thing then that I had heard through all those years is that, well, we're only going to get 15 to 20% of the vote. And Jaden, I had always advocated that we fight to end all abortion. We recognize the baby has a right to life. And I'd go to pro-life meetings and I would be shot down by the experts in the pro-life movement who would say, if we did that, we'd only get 20% of the vote, or 15%. That's all we'd get. Well, when they've been saying that for, what, a quarter of a century, that they have been saying that to fight against human life amendments, since Ronald Reagan was elected in 1980, when he took office in January of 81, he told the pro-life movement that he would stand behind them and sign a human life amendment to stop abortion. And National Right to Life said to him, thank you, but no thanks. We have a better strategy. We're going to go state by state. So then you fast forward 30 years later, and there is a state personhood movement, and they oppose it in the states. So they oppose the federal, and they oppose it in the state. So the bottom line is they just oppose personhood and human life amendments. They're just against that. It doesn't fit into their strategy. But when I was told, and so many others all over the country who were shot down and their visions were robbed from them, and they were given a defeatist attitude, when we were told only 15% would vote for personhood, the implication was, if we all supported it, if National Right to Life came out with a personhood amendment, and if the Catholic bishops that are pro-life supported it, and all the pro-life groups supported it, and all the pro-life Republican politicians supported it, even if we all supported it, we'd only get 15 to 20%. That was the implication. So it turns out that in liberal Colorado, with all that infrastructure, all that conservative pro-life, supposed pro-life infrastructure opposing us, even Focus on the Family and the Catholic bishops and National Right to Life opposing us, and the pro-life Republican candidates, with them all opposing us in liberal Colorado, we got 30% of the vote. And with those groups opposing personhood in Mississippi, they increased that to 42% of the vote. So I would say that we're doubling the conventional wisdom. We're blowing away the Gallup polls of the last 30 years. We're blowing away those results with actual statewide results from the ballot box, which are way more valid than any poll ever taken. And that's with all the opposition. So for those reasons, Jaden, I'm a bit encouraged, because little by little, these leaders, their opposition is getting weaker, and some of them are turning to support personhood.
Amen, Bob.
Well, thank you, sir.
You bet. Thank you.
God bless you. Appreciate that. Appreciate Jaden from Osceola, Indiana. And this show, Bob and Yurt Live, we're on one radio station, just one in Colorado. It happens to be the nation's most powerful Christian station, and what an honor it is to be on. And by the way, we mentioned this just a couple of weeks ago, a terrible news story in Denver, and it has a relationship to this program and KLTT. A beautiful young woman on a Friday afternoon was walking downtown to work at the Cheesecake Factory, and she was hit by a light rail train. What a great tragedy. She has been in ICU ever since. She is the eldest daughter of the general manager of KLTT, Mike Treem. Her name is Laura Treem. We've asked you to pray for Laura. If anyone out there, Laura's, as you could imagine, her medical bills have skyrocketed. If anyone wants to support the Treem family in that way, you can please contact us here at Bob and Yurt Live, and we will give you a way to do that. Or, of course, you could send a check to the Treem family here to our address at Bob and Yurt Live, payable to the Treem family, or just go online and find the mailing address for KLTT Radio. It's a Crawford broadcasting station. They have a number of stations in Colorado, and you could mail that directly to them. But we've asked people to pray for Laura and for Mike and his wife, their family, and for the doctors to pray for wisdom, that God would guide the family, that his peace would rule in their hearts, and they would be comforted when they need comfort, and they would have courage when they need courage. So please remember to pray for the Treems, and if you'd like to help out financially, I know that would be so very well appreciated. And as you know already, Crawford Broadcasting and KLTT has been so supportive of Personhood. They have helped with the signature drives in 2008 and 2010. They have helped get the word out. They are there for the unborn child. They're there for the public to learn that there is a God. There is a creator God. He made us in his image and his likeness. And he is the one who said, and this is a verbatim quote from the Bible, do not kill the innocent. And no one is more innocent than a child. Do not kill the innocent. By the way, if you go online to American Right to Life's website, what a resource. Do you know you could get a 40-year education in the pro-life battle on that website in 40 days? There's an educational resource right at the top. Just click and sign up. It's free. And American Right to Life will keep track of your progress over 40 days as you get a working education for how to stop child killing and how to affirm God as our Creator and our Lord. So, hey, thanks for tuning in. KGov.com.
Children are a blessing from God. But when parents reject and ignore His wisdom and teaching about parenting, children can grow up to be a curse to their parents and to the world around them. What does the Bible say about parents and children, education, and child discipline? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this powerful and critical topic in his teaching series, Raising Godly Children. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.